Shalom Aleichem. Firstly, Yashar Koach to Reb Moshe for all his work that he put into this shiur to put it together. The Pusik tells us in Parshas Vayikru, in the Inyan of Baltulin, so the Pusik tells us, Leisashoik etzrayachu v'leisigzal leisulin ke'ila suche itcho ad boike. The Chofetz Chaim in Sefer Avos Chesed writes that the Inyan of paying a worker on time is a duva ha'oimed berimah shel oilam. And he says, people have the tendency to be mezalzel in this duva ha'oimed berimah shel oilam. He says, b'venesani harabim, people are mezalzel, they're lazy when it comes to a situation where they have money by another person and they don't go and get that money to repay it. Or if they, for example, he writes, they have a babysitter that is service for them, and he has a $100 bill when he comes home at night. And after he comes home with that $100 bill, he doesn't have the time to go exchange that $100 bill for small change. So what he does is, he figures, Mishkefelech will wait until tomorrow morning. He doesn't take the time to go to an ATM machine on that night. So the Chofetz Chaim says, a person has to be extremely careful with this Indian of Baltulin. And the Chofetz Chaim in his Hakduma, which you have in your sheets, to Hilchis of paying off a poil, the Chofetz Chaim says a very good point, and he says as follows. If you notice, there's a sheet that has the two psukim on it. The first pusik tells us, Leisashek etzayachu v'leisigdoyim leisulam ke'ilet suche itcha ad boiter. That's the first pusik. Then in Devorim, you have a second pusik, and there's two psukim in Devorim. The first pusik tells us, Leisashoik suchir uni ve'evyoin, mayachecho oi megecho ashev artzecho b'shurecho. And the pusik continues, Be'yoimaitit in schuroi, ve'loisubay ulof ha'shemesh ki unihi, ve'eilav hi noisei esnafshoi, ve'loyikru ulecho el Hashem v'hoyu v'chu chem. So Rashi in Devorim, in Perek Chavdalid, in Pusik Yidalid, asks a very obvious question, which the Gemara of Messiah asks this question. Why is it that the Inyan of not paying a worker on time is mentioned twice in the Torah? So Rashi tells us the answer to that question is that you're over on two levels. The first Pusik, the Pusik of Leisashek Esrayachu, is referring to a wealthy man, where you don't pay him on time. The second pusik of Leisashik Sucher Uni Ve'evyoin is referring to a poor man. That if there's a poor man and you don't pay him on time, so in that situation, you're going to be over on two laven by the poor man, one lav by the wealthy man. That's the pushit chat which Rashi writes in and Rashi quotes the Gemara in the Sechtes of Metziah. So the Chofetz Chaim quotes a Zoya Kodesh, which is a frightening Zoya Kodesh. It says as follows. The Chofetz Chaim says that when the Pusik tells us, B'yoymoy titan tzchuroy, zuk te Zoya, when you touch B'yoymoy titan tzchuroy, a person should pay on time, V'loy suvoy ulof hashemesh, and then he'll be guaranteed that loy suvoy ulof hashemesh, his sun should not go down on him too early. As we know, the Pusik tells us that if a person doesn't pay his bills on time, he can, unfortunately, the Zohar HaKodesh says that what can happen to him could be the pusik of Ad Ashalay Techshach HaShemesh, which refers to his neshuma leaving his guf a little bit earlier. That's what the Zohar tells us. And then the Zohar tells us another thing. The Zohar tells us that if a person will make sure to whenever he owes money to another person, to an uni especially, and the lushan of the Chofetz Chaim is, he's mashlim the lev of the uni. He makes sure that the uni has his bills paid on time and appropriately. He's guaranteed that v'lo yisubay ulof hashemesh, he will get an extension from the Ribbono shel Olam on his life. So the Chofetz Chaim in the Akduma says that this is obviously not an inyan to take lightly, because if you pay your bills on time, you're guaranteed with quite a good return. If you don't pay your bill on time, the Zoya tells us it's quite a sakuna. So this is not something that we can take lightly. The Sefer Me'il Tzedukah in Siman Tuf Tuf Tzadik Dalet points out a very interesting point. The Gemara tells us in the Sechtes Bava Kama Daf Tzadik Gimel, Omer Rav Chonan tells us Hamoise din al chaveira hi nenesh tchila. If a person goes and he complains to the Ribbono Shel Olam about another person, hi nenesh tchila, he's going to be punished first. And the Gemara tells us that as refers echad hatzoyech to echad hanitzav, side the person that complains to the Ribbono Shel Olam about another person, side the person that he himself is the one that's complained about. So the Gemara tells us that both of the people will get punished. El Hashem Marim Befroya. When the Rabbi Nishalim pays back, first the Rabbi Nishalim pays back to the Tzayek, to the one who screams first. And where does the Gemara know that from? Because the Pusik tells us by Surah. Surah got angry at Avrum, and she said to Avrum, Chamusi Alecho, my anger is on you, because you only davened that you should have children, you didn't daven for me. And the Pusik, the Gemara says, what followed up? So not long after, the unfortunate events took place of the passing of Surah Imaini. The Mashu, in Masechet Bava Kamma, of an art, points out a very interesting point, and the Mashu says that Surah should have lived as long as Avrum actually lived. That's what the Mashu tells us. And the reason she didn't live as long was because she was the tzoyek. She complained to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Mashu said that what's pshat by Yuvay Avrum whispered with Surah Velus Kaisa, because since it's Memarim Lefroya, since first who gets paid back? The tzoyek, the person who complains, gets first the Oynish. So therefore Surah died. Avrum Avini was at the Har Maria. He wasn't aware of the events that were taking place. And then by Yuvay Avrum whispered with Surah Velus Kaisa. But side the tzoyek gets punished, and side the nitzak gets punished. But the Me'il Tzedukah tells us that when a person is over on Batulin, he should know that the worker that complains that he didn't get paid on time, nothing is going to happen to him. Even though usually the punishment goes to the tzoyek and to the nitzak. And the Me'il Tzedukah says, because the pusik tells us, if he's going to scream to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Torah is memayit, that the chet will be bechu, just in you, but not in the other person that complains about you. And the Chofetz Chaim continues in the Akdumah. He quotes from the Zoya Moridic words. He says the Zoya tells us that if a person has a person work for him, he doesn't pay the person's bill on time, what happens is all of the hevel piv, all of the heavy breathing that the laborer invested into his work goes up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and so-called it files a complaint by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then when this person's neshuma wants to go up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he writes Shrekel Chazachin, as Rabbi Abba tells us, Rachmuna l'shevzin minehi melboina, that the Ribbono Shel Olam watch us not from them and not from the embarrassment that we will have if we are over on the issa of Baltulim. Now, the Chofetz Chaim points out that a person might think that, no, that only happens if a person is an Oni. How about if a person is an Oisha, a Zlishkefele, then I can go and I don't have to pay him on time? So he says, no. The Pusik tells us that Eilav he noisei as nafshoi, which means that if the person is expecting to get paid, he provided a service for you, you still have an obligation that you should pay this person on time. And the Gemara tells us a story that Rav Avninu once had a worker, and when it came the time to pay the worker, so the worker said to Rav Avninu, hold on to the money. And Rav Avninu said to him, it's okay, you take the money, toil nafshecha shefkadetu etzli, take back your nefesh that you left by me. And Rav Avninu said, if I was to go and give you my guf, you wouldn't keep it by you. Kal v'choyma, if I'm to give you my nefesh, that's not something that you should leave by me. So just as an introduction, this inyan of Baltulin is a moyedige chumedige inyan. I'll just tell you one more point. The Mishdibri Halucha that the Chofetz Chaim wrote in Simen Reish Mem Beis, in the Simen, which is the Hakdumah to Hilchos Shabbos, the Halucha has a clear. If a person worked for you on Friday, and he comes to get paid on Friday, and now you have a situation where you'll be over on Baltulin, but if you pay the worker the money, you're not going to have enough money to buy Shabbos, the Kuvit Shabbos. So the Bialucha declares, which one should I do? Should I rather be Mekayim on the mitzvah of Kuvit Shabbos, or should I rather not be Mekayim Kuvit Shabbos? I should pay the worker and not have money to spend on Shabbos. So the Bialucha says, in such a situation, a person should take the money and pay it to the worker. And he says, Mele, if you say Kuvit Shabbos, the Rabbunan, so you have a Rabbunan versus the Beraisa, then there's no real question. But even if you say that being Mechabit Shabbos is a Deraisa, so then being Mechabit Shabbos is a Deraisa, but it is one mitzvah of Deraisa, for that to be Matcha, the Inyan of Baltulin, which is an Esa and a Loy Sesa, because as I showed you, it says Loy Tulin and the Yoy Matit and Surah, so there's an Esa and a Loy Sesa, and as the Gemara tells us in Masechta of Metzia, that if a person is Oiv on the Inyan of Baltulin, he's Oiv the Hei Shemus, right, it's possibly five Lashoinis of Esses and Loisesses. It's only two, but it's Hey Shemus. So of course, a person should rather pay all his money and not be Mechabit Shabbos in the appropriate manner. So that's just as an introduction to the Inyan of Baltulin. But now, obviously, it's going to be quite important for us to understand when is there an Issa of Baltulin, when is there no Issa of Baltulin. So I'll start to go through these halachas. Firstly, we mentioned that there are two psukim. One pusik tells us, you shouldn't not pay him until the morning. And the second pusik tells us, you should make sure to pay the person by day. So you have a steer in the two psukim. One pusik tells us you have to make sure to pay the person by the next morning. The second pusik tells us you have to pay the person by the next evening. So which one is correct? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia points out that the situation is, it depends. You have an obligation to pay the worker, as Rashi says, in the following oyna, the following 12-hour period. After the worker completed his service to you, you have to pay him. Usually in those days, when you had a day laborer, he worked until shkia, he worked until the evening. A night laborer worked until the morning. Therefore, since the choy wasn't chal upon you until after the shkia, you don't have an obligation. If the person worked all day, you have that whole night to repay him. You have to pay him before the following Alois HaShachar. What would happen if a person worked for you throughout the night? If he worked for you throughout the night, then you don't have to pay him in that evening. Since he finished his work by the morning, you have the whole day to go and pay that worker. Now, if a person works for you in an afternoon, for example, he did a plumbing job, and he comes to you with the bill, we'll discuss soon what the exceptions are, and he gave you the bill 2 hours before Shkia, then you don't have any more the following 12-hour period. Because the reason why the Psukim were memayin that was because the work was done in an oifin that the person worked until the evening, so now you have till the following morning. Or the person worked until the morning, so now you have till the following evening. But if he completed his work in the middle of a day, then you have to pay him by that evening. Now, just to start going through the halachas, there's an extremely important halacha which is brought down. If you take a look at the sheets of the Gemara on the Kif Yid Beis Umad Aleph, the Gemara tells us that in order to be Oivar and Baltulin, the worker needs to actually approach you, and the worker needs to say that you owe me the money. He has to be conveying the money. If a person just provided a service for you and he never actually came to be tovei you the money, the Gemara tells us there is no issa of Baltulin. Now take a look at Kif Yid Beis Amar Aleph by the two dots. Tuli Rabbanan Leisulin Teila Sucha Yochal Afila Loi Tavoi. I would want to think that even if the person never actually came and was to value the money, so Talmud Loima, the Pusik tells us Itchu. Itchu l'datchu, which means itchu, the person don't keep the money by you, itchu, by your own das. Rashi tells us, v'loi midatoi. But the other person doesn't come to me, and he's never teveya the money, he never says to me, can you please repay me, then I have no obligation to repay him the money. So there's two points I would like to focus on this year. Firstly, what is the definition of the person not asking you for the money? There are different ways the person can ask you for the money. Sometimes he can just come and show his face to you. Sometimes he's a worker that every week, at the end of the week, right, ADP has the payroll, which goes out automatically. So what is the story? How do we consider a tviya legabe a worker? I'll just read another few lines because it's important to Gemara. Yochel, I would want to think, afila eloi, even if he doesn't have the money. This is the second point I want to focus on in this year. What is the situation if when the person comes and he asks you for his payment, you don't have the money? Are you still obligated to pay him the money or not? We'll discuss soon. Are you mechuyif to go borrow to repay him? If you have money sitting in a CD, are you mechuyif to take a loss and take your money out of the bank? or not? Are you mechuyif to write a post-dated check? We'll discuss all of these questions. So Talmud Loima, itchu, sheyesh itchu, which means that lo sulam pe'ila socher, don't leave the money that you owe to a laborer, itchu, with you. But if you don't have the money, the Gemara tells us, you're not over. Two very important points, which we'll start to discuss in this shir. What is pshat in this Rashi ledatchu? The Rashi, the Avos Chesed, explains the Rashi that if the laborer doesn't come and ask you for the money, he's not teveya, his money is the Rashi's machadish, that it's not ledatchu. Which means, what does it mean it's not ledatchu? He says it's like he's giving you permission, you can hold on to my money. Because if he wanted his money, he would have come to you for his money. The Shahar Mishpat in Simon Shin Lamates, Siv Kutin Beis, says that even though when he's not teveya the money, you're not over on the ister of Baltulin, he says you're taking not over on the lav of Baltulin, but you still have an obligation to pay. He says isira mia ikka. And what's his proof? His proof is that there is a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us as follows. The Mishnah is on kif yid omet bayis. In the third line of the Mishnah, it says Amosai. When is this case that you're obligated to pay? That's specifically Amosai. This man should tovoy when he's teveya him the money. Of a loy tovoy, but if the worker doesn't come to you to be teveya his money, then you should know ena oiver ulav. You're not oiver. So therefore, zuk di shahamelech. The shahamelech tells us the shahamishpat rather that you're not over, which means you're not over the actual lav, but there's still an isser, there's an obligation to repay him, and that would be the appropriate thing to do. The Erech Shai tells us that even though you're not over on the actual lav, however, you're over on the mitzvahs asay of b'yoy ma'itit n'schoroi. That's what the Erech Shai tells us. The Oyavoydus HaGeshini agrees very strongly, and he brings out a Devar Chaim, and he says no. He says the two are not, you can't separate the two. If you're over on one, you're over on the second one in this case. There are certain cases where there's taka no lav, but there's still an obligation of b'yoy ma'itit n'schoroi. Al Kapunim, the point that the Shahar Mishpat wants to bring out to us is that even if you say that if the person's not to pay out the money, you don't have to pay, you should know that there still is an obligation to pay. If you take a look in the sheets of the Shulchan Aruch, the Pesachivan, Sim Shin Lamates, if Kutin Zayin, quotes a Zoya in Kedoshim, and he says that he's so concerned on being over on this Issa of Baltulin that the Zoya tells us that even if you went to pay him, and the worker said to you, it's okay, hold on to my money for another day. You can keep your money. So the Zoya says you should not hold on to the money unless it's in a situation where you paid him and he returned it to you. And he says specifically when you paid him already. But if you didn't pay him, you shouldn't accept the mechila of his money. So kal v'chaima, if the person's not tevei you, according to the Zoya, that's not something that a person should do. It's interesting. Rav Chaim Vital writes in Shara Mitzvahs in Pashas Kiseitze that there were times the Arizal wouldn't daven until after Shkia. And the reason the Arizal wouldn't daven until after Shkia would be because the situation was that the Arizal wanted to repay people that worked for him, and since he wanted to repay people that worked for him, he didn't have the money, he was looking for people to lend him the money. That's what the Reb Chaim Vital writes. He saw by his Rebbe the Arizal would daven mincha late. And Yaakov Emden points out in his Siddur that, of course, we're talking about in a situation where they weren't teveya him the money. Because if they were teveya him the money, then it would be obvious that he'd be mechuyev to pay. Reb Chaim Vital wasn't telling us madregis on his Rebbe, that his Rebbe went and was mekayim, an actual mitzvah saseh, and a lois says in the Torah. We'll see soon, it's not so simple, because if you're mechuyev to go and borrow money to repay or not, when you don't have the money, it's not so simple. But we'll discuss that in a few moments. The Chofetz Chaim and Sefer Mechitziv HaChesed in Perek Tes, if Kudin Chav Aleph, makes a very interesting point. The Gemara says that the person is mechuyev to come to you and be teveya the money. He needs to come to you and say, please pay me the money that you owe me. How about if a person completes a job for you, and after he completes his job, he approaches you and he says, listen, he doesn't say anything to you, but he comes to your house and he sits around and he speaks to you about the great job he did, and he sits there another 10 minutes, and you, like they say, machzach and shvissendik, and then he leaves your house. So the Chofetz Chaim says that his feeling is that in such a situation, you're over on Baltulin. because the Chofetz Chaim says that's called tavoy. He was taka to pay you the money. He was just embarrassed to come and ask you for the money up front and outright. But that, the Chofetz Chaim tells us, is taka a situation of tavoy where you're over on baltulin. The Chofetz Chaim has another case where taka remains in a tzurachian. The Chofetz Chaim says, and what will happen in the situation where the laborer becomes sick and he doesn't have the ability to come and be teveya his money from you? So the Chofetz Chaim says that he says he has no echucha from the Gemara or from the Psikim, and he can't be mechadish new mitzvahs. But the Chofetz Chaim says he feels that afal pikein, in this type of situation, you are going to be over, and the reason why you're going to be over is because since you know he would have been teveya you, but the Chofetz Chaim remains by a tzurchian in this case. The Pitzchei Achoshin, written by Rav Blau, one of the very chushuva and senior dayunim on the Badatz, it wrote a very, very impressive work, a Choshen Mishva, 10 volumes. And this there, Choshen writes that if you have a situation where the you have a laborer who works for you by the week, the regular worker, and every day, he never is tevei you b'chush. What happens is at the end of the week, he automatically gets paid. So he writes over there that his feeling is that the pashtis, you are oivam batulin if you don't pay him at the end of the week. He says, however, he writes that he remains by a bit of a tzurachin, because as I explained, it's a little bit hard to be mechadish that a person should be chayim in a lav when you have a situation when you have the lavim come from sukkim and from gemuras. And therefore, he remains by a slight tzurachin, but he says that the pashtis in this type of situation, a person absolutely should pay. Now, the Mechaba tells us in Sim Shilam Tes, Sif Tes, that there are certain industries that it's the regular in those industries that you know that even though a person will hire you to work for him, he won't have the ability to repay you until the end of the season. Right? Let's say, for example, in there are certain businesses like jewelry businesses or whatever the business is, that it's a seasonal business and the collections come at the end of the month or at the end of the season. So the Shulchan Aruch says that in that type of a situation where it's understood by everybody that you only get paid at the end of the season, then there's no issa of baltulin, because it becomes like the person was meyayish nafshe. The person automatically was meyayish that he didn't intend to collect the money earlier. What's interesting is that when you have a situation that the first morning passes and you're not over on the issa of baltulin, in that type of a situation there will never be the issa of baltulin according to most rishonim, and there will be a issa derabuna of baltisha. And I'll show you, take a look, daf kif yidum at base in the Gemara. And the Gemara tells us as follows: Tuni rabunan, it's five lines from the bottom of the Gemara. Tuni rabunan, mimashma shenema leisulin te'ilis suche itchu, eni yodeya sha'ad boike, ma'atam ad loyma ad boike, melamet sha'ayna oiva, elo ad boike rishin bulvat. You're only over on the first morning. And once the first morning passes, at that point, a person can't be over anymore on the issa of baltulin. Now the Gemara continues, Mikan ve'eluch mai. And what's going to be the halucha after the first morning? Zuk the Gemara, after the first morning, umarav, oive mishim baltisha. You're over because of the issa of baltisha. Umarav Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, my crew, where do you find the pusik for the issa of baltisha? So the Gemara says, Al toime l'riyacha, don't say to your friend, let go, b'shoiv, and return, imuch etaloch, and I'll give you your money tomorrow, v'yesh itchu, and the money is with you. Al kapunim, the first day you can be over on baltulim. The Namika Yosef writes that if you have a situation where the first day you're not over on baltulim, and this is a classic example why you're not over on baltulim the first morning, because the first morning you have no obligation. So then, even when the first morning that you have an obligation arrives, you're still not going to be mechuyif to repay. Why? Because you missed the first ad boiker. It so happens to be that there is one shita in the Rishonim that disagrees, but it's interesting, I'm not going to go into it now, there's a tshuva in Mishnah Rabban from Baran Kotlov. We write that tshuva is that shita is a das yechido, and the halucha is that if you miss the first morning, you're not going to be over anymore on the issa deraisa, but you're only going to be over on the issa derabuna. Now, I just want you to know that the Chofetz Chaim points out in in Bialuch and Simin Reishim and Beis, that that's very good when it comes to a regular person. But when it comes to a Talmud Chochem, he has to know that there's another Issa, and the Issa of not repaying his bills on time is Issa of Chil Hashem. As the Gemara tells in the Sefer Timah, Eizehi Chil Hashem, what's the classic example of a Chil Hashem? Right? The person who takes Hakufas HaHanis, Talmud Chochem, goes into the store, and he takes some credit and doesn't pay on time. So if a person considers himself a Talmud Chochem, as a Levisin, there's a whole shayla in the place, and who's considered Talmud Chochem as Man Hazeh? So Yavah, this one, it's really, you know, you have a tremendous achrayus if a person is considered a Talmud Chochem. Okay, but Al Kaponim, when you have a situation where the person understood that you weren't going to pay him right away up front, and the person expected to be paid later, so then even if he's conveying his money, you're not going to be over anymore on the Issa of Baltulin. The remove on Sif Tes adds, and what's going to be in a situation where you don't pay the person until he gives you a bill, right? You have certain people that they come to you and they do a plumbing job, right? And you say to him, how much is it going to cost? And he says, I'll give you a bill at the end. So as long as he doesn't actually approach you and give you a bill, you're not over on the Issa of Baltulin. That's what the remove tells us. The remove is quoting Garosh and the Miki Yosef that is the halucha. Then the Miki Yosef points out, how about if when he finishes his job, he does a plumbing job for you in the house, he finishes his job and he says to him, can I pay you? And he says, I don't know what the actual bill is, but the bill is definitely more than $500. You know what, give me $300 now. Are you over on the Issa of Baltulin for the small amount of money that you don't give to him right now? That's a shaila which the Miki Yosef speaks about, and then the Miki Yosef says that absolutely not. You're not over on the Issa of Baltulin because it's part and parcel. The Yosef said you're not mechuyev to pay him the money as a whole. Therefore, you can't say that that since part of the money you mechuyev to pay him, that you can be over on that on the Issa of Baltulin. He says, except when you have a situation where there are certain jobs which they expect a certain amount of money early on before the full bill is taken care of, so then that would be an exception to the rule, but b'derech klal, that's the halucha. Now, obviously the most difficult question is going to be when a person comes to you, when a person says, okay, repay me my money, and you don't have the money. And now you're dealing with a very serious shaila of an Issa of Baltulin. I'm not going to address this shaila this year, but the next year, Be'ez Hashem, I'll address this shaila. One of the most complex shailas that happen is what happens when you're running a business and you need to purchase inventory. And if you pay your workers, then you won't be able to continue to run the business. How do you deal with that type of a situation? That's obviously a far more complex situation. But let's first deal with the simple shaila. Let's say you have a situation where a person approaches you and he says, you owe me $500. So you say, I don't have $500, but you have $100. So the Erev Shai says, you must please give him the $100. But if you don't give him the $100, but sulam fi illa sucha itchu, whatever you actually have, that you have to pay. And if you don't pay what is itchu, what you have with you, you're going to be over on the first $100. Now, what would be in a situation where you have a pekudon sitting in another person's hands, right? You lent a certain item to another person, the person's holding on to your item, and you can simply approach him and you can say, return my item to me, right? So, are you allowed to keep the money there as a shelter and now say, I don't have because my item is sitting by another person? In Chosh Mishpat and Simon Kif Aleph, Sif Dalet, and the Ramut, Sipaskin, that a pekudon is beshisa demure kaimi. A pekudon is considered that it exists in your reshus. And since a pekudon is beshisa demure kaimi, a pekudon exists by you, therefore you can't use it as an excuse that it's not itchu, the money is not with me, because of course the money is itchu, the money is with you, because the situation is that you have the ability to get it. The same halacha would apply if you lent a person money and the loan is due already and you have the ability to go to the person and collect your money. So there too you have an obligation to go to collect your money. Now, you go to a person and you say to him, repay my bill, and the person says, I don't have any money. He doesn't have any money with him, but he has a lot of money sitting in his bank. No, would that be an appropriate excuse? So, avadana, firstly, it's an appropriate way to pay a worker. As the Mishnah tells us, that if a person is himchoye tzachemveni, if you go and you say to him, my money is sitting by that banker in that situation, you're not going to be over on Baltuvin. So firstly, if you have a check, obviously you're obligated to write out a check in order to repay the loan. The Pisrei HaKosher of Blau discusses an interesting question. He says, what would be the halucha if you don't actually have money in your account, but you have the ability to write a post-dated check? You have an obligation to write a post-dated check. Do you say that a post-dated check is considered that you have the money because you have the ability to repay the choyv, so therefore it is itchu? Or do you say no? Hayoyf that I don't have a situation of itchu. The money is not actually sitting by me. Since I don't have the money, I don't have to write a post-dated check. And on that shaila, he remains with the tzurachim. What's an interesting question, which the Paiskim debate a lot, it's the Moedigim of Ichen, the Paiskim. The Shaila is, let's say a person is sitting on a very large amount of metalfum, and he has chafetzim, and he has a lot of wealth. Is he obligated to go and sell off his chafetzim in order to repay the loan or not? It's interesting, it's a Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Chiris, in Siftes Vov. That the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says no. It says the lushan of the Torah is loitulin schuroi itchu. Don't leave his payment with you. And a person that has metaltalin, the metaltalin is not considered schuroi. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is mechadish that if a person has a tremendous amount of wealth and he has a lot of chafetzim sitting by him, he's still not obligated to repay it because it's only metaltalin. He has to have cash or the ability to get financing money in the bank. If not, you're not mechuyev to pay. However, the Kivega, if you take a look, the Kivega is clearly not mashma that way. And Kivega is medayik and the lushan hamishnah aimloy. When it comes to take the money from him, he has nothing and he doesn't have the actual ability to get any money. It's interesting. The pasha is a person should try to repay his bills. But how about if when he repays his bills, he ends up incurring a tremendous loss? For example, he has money that's sitting in a CD, and it's a large amount of money, and the CD was there for 6 months, and it's 5 months through. And if he goes and he takes the money out of the CD, he will have a tremendous penalty, and he'll have to lose all that money that he actually invested. Is there an obligation in that type of situation to go and remove your money from the CD in order to repay the chayv? Or the how about you have a situation which the Chofetz Chaim quotes a ritva in Shita Mikibetzes, which is interesting that the Shita Mikibetzes we have, I don't think has that ritva, but the Chofetz Chaim in Avos Chesed quotes that ritva. He says if a person has inventory and a person has the ability to sell off that inventory in order to repay a choif to a worker. So the Chofetz Chaim quotes a ritva that a person is obligated to do so. And he writes that that's a choif which is oimid l'machiris. And we can't compare that exactly to the situation that I mentioned from the Rav Shulchan Aruch when a person has metaltalin, because that's talking about inventory that you have the ability to sell off, which is oimid l'machiris. That the Chofetz Chaim paskins a person should sell. But there's a chinuch. And the chinuch tells us in Tuf Kif Pei Beis that when you have a situation that you're going to get a large loss, Dr. Chinuch writes, then you don't have the obligation to do so. Yes?
Why is the check? It's not going to clear that same day. Why is that fulfilling the obligation to pay the interest?
Oh, so it's a very good point. The answer to the question is because the Mishnah says that when you give him the ability to be able to get money, that's also considered a repayment and not an issa of baltulin. So therefore, if you had a situation where you could repay the money, you gave him a certain amount of money that he can go to another person, the person will temporarily give him the money. I mean, the truth is, one of the things which always bothered me, what happens if you give him a check and you gave him the check after the hours that the bank is closed? So he can't even go to the bank that can temporarily give him money for that amount. So the emes is that a shtickle hetter would be, like we said, because like him chayei tzochemveni, you give him the ability to go to a chemveni to get money, and therefore it should technically be okay. I'm not sure if it's a very large check, and it's in a situation that nobody would give him the cash for that check, then enachanami, it's a little bit gray that should be fine. But sof kol sof, it goes into the gedder of him chayei tzochemveni, which the Mishnah tells us is okay.
Also, with the post-dated check, there's always a chance that you won't get the money into your account. justified, in which case it's ghetto. So are you even allowed to do it?
Well, if you know you're not going to be able to cover the check, then obviously you shouldn't do it. But I was referring to a person that's getting a paycheck in a couple of days. He knows he's going to have the money, and he knows he's going to have the ability to pay. But 100%, if you're not going to be able to cover the check, it's absolutely something that shouldn't be done. So the bottom line is, when it comes to selling off metaltolin, that's like a big shayla in the poskim, if you're mechuyev to do it or not. When it comes to selling off a business inventory, the Chofetz Chaim paskens in that situation a person should do it, except when he's going to incur a tremendous amount of loss. When Agav is a morning geshein shvis, and the Kilegi has a very interesting question. The Kilegi says that the Chinuch says that when you can sell something off, you're not mechuyev to do so. So if you're going to lose a large amount of money. So Kivega asked a very interesting question, and the question is that l'chayra, that's because of the kiyum asay of the yom atit and schuroi, but not to be oivan alav, a person has an obligation to sell all of his nechusim. So Kivega wants to know, why doesn't he have an obligation to sell all of his money? There were other early achrayim that wanted to answer that since when you're selling off, since you can repay it the next day, therefore you're not mechuyev. But when Kivega asked, that's still very shver to say that, because the first day you were over on Leitulin, the next day you pay the loans. We'll tell you were over anyways. So Kivega wants to point to the sugi in Yerideya, which the sugi tells us that when it's a lav she'im b'maisa, so then you're not mechuyev to mivaz this kol mamoine, which is a big discussion in the Pischa Tshuva by Bekiach Nevesh. Yes?
Two questions. Number one, suppose you don't believe the employer, do you have the right to see his books?
Oh, so that I want to discuss in the next year. I'll take that a step further. And what happens when you have a disagreement if you owe the money or not? Are you over Baltol or not? But that's not too broad of a discussion for this year.
The second question is, can an employer from employer hide behind the corporate shield?
Oh, okay, piercing the corporate veil. We'll talk about that, but not at this year. I mean, that's the specialty. Everybody's very good at that one. What's that?
Are you allowed to pay
with metaltolin? If he accepts, then 100%. Then you're allowed to. There's a tumult if you can, which again is too broad of a topic for this year. If you can force him to repay him differently than you originally obligated to repay him, usually you repay with kesef. So if you're allowed to pay with metaltolin, it's not so simple. It's a big shayla on the poskim. But pashas is not such a good idea. What I said was to sell the metaltolin to raise cash in order to repay him. That was a discussion that I was mentioning. I'll just mention one more point, which is an interesting discussion in the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim declares, are you obligated to go and borrow money in order not to be over on the issa of Baltulin? What's the question? So the Chofetz Chaim says as follows. I mean, it's a very interesting question. L'chayra, the Torah said itchu, and if you don't have, you're not mechuyev to go and borrow. The Chofetz Chaim says that if it's easy for you to borrow the money, then he declares that you should be obligated to do so. And the reason is as follows. He says, because the Gemara says in Masechet Menuchos that the Katina got punished. Why did he get punished? Because he wasn't mechayev himself in a mitzvah saseh, right, of the mitzvah of tzitzis. He didn't put on a bag of dal tantis to be mechayev himself. And the Gemara says that in the rischana, in a time of anger, then the Rebbein Shleilim pays on a person that's not mechayev himself in a mitzvah saseh. So the Chofetz Chaim wants to say that if it's easy for you to borrow the money, then 100% you should borrow the money. But the Chofetz Chaim takes it a step further. The Chofetz Chaim says he's mistapik. He says maybe you have an obligation. Why? Because Hayoyis the Torah said itchu, and Hayoyis the Torah, it's easy for you to borrow the money, so maybe it's called itchu. So maybe there's not only the assay, the obligation of being mechayiv yourself in the assay, but you also have the obligation of the itza of Baltulin, because that is considered itchu. The Pesach Shuvataka brings down in Siv Kutn Ches, in the name of the Arizal, that it's a midas chasidus to borrow money to repay a loan. So I'm not sure if he's disagreeing with the Chofetz Chaim, because it could be that the midas chasidus is even when it's difficult for you to borrow money. But the Chofetz Chaim suffers from paskins that in an easy case you have that obligation. Besides those topics that I said we'll discuss by the next year, I'll also discuss by the next year when you have a board, and the board is the one that pays the salaries, but on the other hand, you're hired by an individual. So who's Oivan Baltulin? The individual, the board, the boss, both or none? That will continue Ben Sashem by the next year, Ben Sashem. Right. There's definitely no Baltulin, because you missed that actual day. There was no point. Once you got one, you missed the Baltulin. It's clear. You might have
please fill out the feedback form that I'll be able to send out my regulars next time.